And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on Axe FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix, and with me in studio we have
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin and
The Black Knight.
The Black Knight, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
what politics?
Christ politics. And this week's hot politics, we are looking at the NDR, or the National Democratic Revolution, and the Freedom Charter. Pastor Gav, do you want to give a more brief explanation?
If you want a title for this week's episode, what is the core policy that holds the ANC, MK, of Jacob Zuma, Umkhonto Sizwe Party, and the Economic Freedom Fighters, or EFF, of Julius Malema together? Because the reality is, although they're three parties, they're one and the same thing, because at their core, they have the same thing. So if I have to give you an example, take Christians, right? So there's many denominations, and we argue about all sorts of things. We argue about tongues. We argue about prophecy. Either we don't believe in prophecy, or we argue who's the best prophet, or, there's all sorts of stuff. We argue about baptism. We argue about, there's a lot of things Christians argue about. But we're all united by one common strategy. And much of the arguments that happen between churches, let's be honest, it's ego-based. It's actually just ego-based. Because at its core, fundamentally, when you get down to it and you speak to Christians, you basically have two types of Christians. You get those who believe the Bible, and you get those who have taken on other values other than the Bible. And whether you're talking about evolution, or the moral values, the relativistic moral values in much of the Western world, or any of those sorts of things. That either you've got Christians who've taken on those values and have diluted the Bible, or those who take the Bible as is. And at the end of the day, so you get that, but those who take the Bible seriously, they argue. You've got the reformists, the revisionists, the cessationists, you've got the pre-mid, mid-trib and post-trib, and amillennialist and post-millennialist, and you got all these terms, so many different theological terms for so many different people. But at the core, when you speak to them, they believe the same stuff. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross, rose from the grave. The blood of Jesus saves us from all of our sin. There's those core beliefs. Now, when you look at the ANC, EFF, and Umkhonto Sizwe, they've all got the same core beliefs. So the argument between them is, it's ego. It's ego. So if you're voting for one of these three parties, you're voting for the same thing. And that's what we're going to discuss. What is the Bible of those three parties? Because they all have the same Bible. And they all have the same Messiah. The Messiah is Lenin. Okay, Vladimir Lenin, who exposed the Old Testament doctrine of Karl Marx, and his disciple was Stalin, Joseph Stalin. So Mao Zedong in China. So the thing is, at the end of the day, we're going to talk about what do they actually believe, and what are they all pushing for. And when you realize what they're pushing for, then you understand that the fight is just public. And by the way, what I would say is many of the principles in here, obviously the DA's got some stuff related to the market, the Democratic Alliance, but a lot of the DA's ideas are very similar. So I think the majority of the original documents of the ANC and the Saving Communist Party, the DA would agree with.
Yeah,
and so we do not have a communist really versus totally non-communist view in this country at all.
So that is what we're going to be speaking about. It's going to be quite interesting. As always, because this is the political show where Christ Politics is...
Hot Politics.
Hot Politics.
This is Ready On Demand. What you want, when you want it. It's Active FM.
Active FM.
So we'll be looking at what the NDR is, the National Democratic Revolution. We're also going to be looking, take a look at the Freedom Charter, which is basically the foundation of the ANC, the ruling party in South Africa, EFF and MK here in South Africa. And when we look at the National Democratic Revolution, there's an article that was released by IRR. And they write here, what is the National Democratic Revolution? And they just do like a brief summary of what it is and stuff. And this is what it says. The National Democratic Revolution is the key to understanding developments in South Africa since 1994, yet most South Africans know little about it. This is partly because the NDR has so many diverse strands that it is difficult to connect the dots. More telling still is the general media silence about the NDR and the reluctance of most commentators to acknowledge its importance. The NDR strategy is so destructive and its socialist and communist goals are so outdated and illogical that most people find it hard to believe the ruling party could truly be committed to it. However, the viewpoint of the African National Congress, and we know them as the ANC, and its dominant South African Communist Party ally, the NDR has powerful ideological appeal. It also offers the most effective way for the Revolutionary Alliance to entrench itself in power. So what does the NDR mean? The NDR is a Soviet-inspired strategy which seeks to provide the most direct route to socialism, as the South African Communist Party puts it. Socialism, in turn, is a traditional social society between capitalism and the fully classless communist society, which is the final NDR objective. The NDR derives from the two-stage theory of revolution developed by Lenin to drive a wedge between the European imperial powers and their Asian and African colonies. The first of Lenin's stages requires a given colony to achieve national liberation from colonial rule. The second involves the gradual shift within the newly independent country from an inherited capitalist system to the socialism and then communism supposedly needed for true political and economic freedom. So what are your thoughts on that so far in terms of what they say the NDR is? And then we'll go into how the ANC has started implementing it in South Africa.
Well, obviously, originally in 1955 or 56, the ANC, released the Freedom Charter. And obviously some aspects of the Freedom Charter are great. But when you read the Freedom Charter carefully, there's some things there that are laced, you know, with communist thinking. So, for example, taking the means of production. They're saying they're gonna take the ownership away from the private owners, you know, of major industries and mines and all of that.
Yep.
And then they're going to hand it over to the people. They're going to take the land from the owners of the land and give it to those who work the land. Now, that in communist language, giving something to the state, they say is giving something to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory is you give it to the state, therefore the people govern it because of the fact that it's democratic and the people vote for their representatives. So they vote for the people who control the land on their behalf. So already in South Africa, we've got quite a bit of experience about how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the National Democratic Revolution is all about cadre deployment. So a cadre is like a communist soldier within a communist liberation organization like the ANC. When I read through the Freedom Charter, it contradicts itself.
Mm.
in that it talks about freedom of movement of everyone, but yet everything's controlled. So the state's going to control your job, your money, everything. That's what I read in the Freedom Charter. And the National Democratic Revolution document, which is it's the first resolution that's passed at every ANC conference every 5 years. And so the last ANC conference, which was in 2022, the ANC recommitted itself to the National Democratic Revolution as resolution number one. So looking at that, the aim of that is to abolish all vestiges of capitalism and the free market and to put in place first a socialist, because they say that people won't initially accept a communist state, so first a socialist state, and then later move on to a communist state. And they also talk about the fact that people won't accept a communist state unless you collapse the economy. So how do you collapse the economy without people starving for a period of time? And that's exactly what happened under Stalinist Russia. So that underpins the ANC. And when I look at the manifesto of Umkhonto Sizwe, their manifesto echoes the National Democratic Revolution and the Freedom Charter. Obviously, the EFF is blatantly Marxist-Leninist. If you look on their Facebook page, you know, they're a Marxist-Leninist party.
Yeah.
I think Fadupian, Marxist-Leninist party. Fadupian means it's a black version. So it's because the difference between, the actual difference between fascism, which is Nazi, and communism, is that fascism was based on race and communism was not based on race. So in actual fact, when you look at the original fight that happened between the fascists and the communists, the fascists believed that their race must be promoted. The communists said all races are equal. So when they say Fadupian Marxist-Leninist, you know, if you go and really understand the battle that was taking place 100 years ago between the fascists and the communists, now leading up to the Second World War, you can't be both. You can't be a black dominated or black black aligned communist party, because that goes against true communism. And obviously, the last thing I wanted to say, when you look in these documents, they often talk about the colonialists. But again, I want to say to all South Africans who might be listening to the show, these ideas come from Europe. So who colonized you? And why would these guys tell people in South Africa that the Bible's colonizing you from Europe? Talking about the Bible as if it's a European document. The Bible is not a European document. The Bible comes out of the Middle East. The Bible is part of its origins in Africa. You know, if you look at the story of Moses, Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness in Africa. Jesus, when he had to run from King Herod, you know, because he's killing all the two-year-olds, they ran to Egypt, which is in Africa. There was in Acts chapter 8, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, in those days it was known as Cush. And he gets led to the Lord by one of the apostles, Philip. And then he goes off and starts a church there, which we know as the Ethiopian Coptic Church today. And they claim to go back to that eunuch. You know, so all of these things were in Africa a long time before Karl Marx's doctrine. And the issue is, you either have the doctrine of the Bible or you have the doctrine of Karl Marx. And all three of these parties, the ANC, the EFF, and MK, are bound by the doctrines of Marx.
Black Knight?
I think, once again, I come across with this whole, I'm glad once again we're in South Africa, because obviously the belief of the guys are being controlled has always been there. It's never doubted, I think, by most South Africans. So obviously with the whole doctrine that they follow, we can tell. In fact, with the setup that they have now planned for our country, it's also something that you could see as planned, because as we did point out, we're not just pointing it out now, but we have been doing that through our shows, is that these guys are one and the same thing. and with this GNU that they want to do. Obviously,
yeah, for those who are not in South Africa, the GNU, it's a government of national unity. So he's talking about talks about coalition government in South Africa, and people are pushing for a government of national unity where you'll have cabinet ministers coming under a president, but the cabinet ministers will be from different parties.
Yeah, so obviously that's how you can tell that these guys are working together. In fact, when I saw what our show was going to be on, I was actually proud, because like it's spot on with what's happening. This is actually an important topic to actually show the country that these guys are actually working together. Even with this GNU that they want to start, it's all a hoax. So because Pastor Kevin has said it all. So that's just my take to just.
So just explain why you say it's a hoax.
Because they're gonna act like they're fighting. When they get to the parliament, and maybe these guys, in fact, the smaller parties that probably are not as left as the ANC is, because I do believe that the smaller parties are actually like the PA. What we know, with what they've presented themselves as, they are, I wouldn't even say far right, but they are just
right. No, Gayton McKenzie, they said, describe yourself. Gayton McKenzie says, we are far right.
Okay. So he said it. Okay, so they are very far right.
So Julius Malema is not really controversial.
Yeah, no.
He's actually mainstream.
Yeah.
So people must not say that Julius is controversial. Julius is mainstream.
Yeah.
Gayton's a bit controversial. We're going to support Israel. We're going to put God back in the schools. We're full on for a market economy. We are far out.
So that's how you can tell that it's a hoax, and it's a hoax on the smaller parties. I also believe that with this structure, which is unstructured yet, that they're trying to implement for our country, is that they're going to actually kick out all the smaller parties or overthrow them, which is using the four big parties.
How are they going to do that?
Because if they have a lot of percentage compared to the smaller parties. So your four bigger parties, one has 9, one has 15, one has 25, one has 40. So I believe if obviously they all come together and agree on something, they will be able to pass, because it's going to be a thing that we all vote on, and the most votes will obviously win. And I think that's how they're going to play this game and still get the whole NDR in motion. Because we have Zuma, who this past week was busy praising BRICS and how BRICS is so important for our country, how BRICS is going to be a game changer and all of that. And then I'm like, but the same president or the party that you are fighting or against that put this into place, you know, I thought you'd probably fight that or come up with something. But you can tell that these guys work together, because he's actually supporting. It's kind of like they're making up for the ANC. That's why the ANC didn't actually lose, because I believe these smaller parties, your ANC, MK is from ANC, still a member of the ANC. Julius Malema, Floyd Shivambu, they both from the ANC. So you can tell that they are, and Floyd and Julius, they are the president and vice presidents of the EFF. MK, Zuma is kind of, even though he's not, he can't stand as the candidate, but he's still running the whole thing. He's also from the ANC, so it's obvious that they're all pushing the same mindset, because Julius, whatever nonsense he's talking, he all learnt it from the ANC as a youth league. Well, Floyd, the same thing.
They're all talking ANC.
That's what...
They're talking Marxist-Leninist language.
Yes. So, it's obviously, it makes sense, because they
And Zuma now flowers it with a lot of African words.
Yeah.
Saying this is African and that. Okay. Just interestingly enough, I was reading the manifesto of MK, and I can see a lot of the Freedom Charter and also the NDR in there. One of the things that's interesting, obviously they're going to tear up the constitution, and they're going to go into a parliamentary system with no constitution. Now, I'm not sure if that's going to be worse than what we've got now, because our constitution is terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure it's better either. It might be worse, because, you know, at least with this constitution, you can't make laws kill all the whites. You know, under just a parliamentary system, you could. But anyway. But one of the things I see is that they want to scrap the current parliamentary system, and they want to have a lower house of parliament, which is voted for, and then an upper house, which is made up of the traditional leaders.
Mm.
So the lower house will pass the law, and then you've got an upper house with the traditional leaders. Mm. Now, that sounds all well and great. But in the UK, they've got the House of Lords, which is like the UK, you know, Britain's traditional leaders.
Yeah.
I don't like the British system.
Yeah, me too. When you explained it to me.
Yeah. We used to have a constituency-based system. Yeah, I don't like that system. And they've got a House of Lords. And
actually, what MK
is proposing is to have South Africa's version, except our House of Lords will be called the House of Traditional Leaders or something.
Actually, I see what you're saying. That's actually true.
So speaking about all of this, do you think that they've managed to get far in terms of the implementation of the NDR?
It's scary. And in fact, a lot of our economic problems are because they've gotten it right. So for example, one of the things that's been complained about is the whole thing of cadre deployment. And cadre deployment is an out-and-out strategy. You know, of the whole National Democratic Revolution.
Yeah.
And if you look at all the state organs, you know, they are fully controlled by people that have that mindset. The funny thing is they all come out and they blame white monopoly capital. But I saw a figure a few years ago, so I stand on a correction, but that something like 60% of the South African economy is based around the government. And transactions that the government's doing. Which means only 40% of the economy is in private hands. So if that's true, they've been 60% successful already. And therefore, the whole notion that white monopoly capital is the problem would be a false one. Because the so-called white monopoly capital, and some of that white monopoly capital is controlled by black people, only constitutes in total 40% of the economy. Which means you need to level at least 60% of the problems, the socioeconomic and the economic problems going on at the moment, at the foot of the 60%, which is the ANC, which is the government, which is the state.
What's this? This article says, towards the end, it says the economic damage from the NDR also helps cement the ANC's grip on power. So it's speaking about how they've already started and been successful in the implementation of the NDR. And it says if the economy were thriving and millions of well-educated South Africans could easily find well-paying private sector jobs outside of the state, the ANC would soon be voted out. A rapidly expanding black middle class with little need to rely on state provision would readily turn to rival political parties, and especially so as memories of the ANC's romanticized struggle against apartheid began to fade. But by contrast, the more state control expands and private provision contracts under the impact of the NDR, the more South Africans will find themselves dependent on the ANC government for the land and houses they occupy, the education, healthcare, and pensions they need, the social grants essential for their survival, and the public sector wages on which the fortunate few are still able to rely. The ANC's power of patronage will then be enormous, while the millions dependent on the state for their core needs will become fearful of voting for other parties, which is what we basically saw now in the past elections.
Sure.
Yeah, although the people aren't as fearful as what they said they'd be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're looking for other options.
Yeah.
But the thing is, MK got majority of the votes that the ANC lost.
For sure. They got like, what was it? 15.
Was it under 15? It's 14.7%. They got 58.
And just imagine, they have like 15%. So partially, not even partially, probably a whole third of their votes. was from kind of like the ANC people. If we take straight from there, literally that's what they did.
Yeah. What I would say, though, if you look in the last elections, the ANC got close to 58% themselves.
Yeah.
And the EFF got 11% in 2019. So that's 69%.
Yeah.
These three parties together fall below the two-thirds majority. So the communist bloc has lost votes.
Yeah, actually, I see what
That's why I asked you. I don't know if you were able to ascertain. Does the IFP subscribe to the Freedom Charter?
Because it's only the DA that lost like 1%, right?
Or did they gain? They gained 2%.
They gained 2%.
Yeah, and obviously the Patriot Alliance, the IFP also gained.
That's actually true.
The Freedom Front
lost. I didn't think of the EFF.
Yeah, but the DA went after the Freedom Front voters because the DA lost votes to the Freedom Front in the last election. The Freedom Front is an old apartheid white party. For those that are overseas, you don't know.
Yeah.
And then what's I don't know with the whole take with the EFF acting like they're fighting the DA and all of that, because I think at the end of the day they're all gonna join in and sleep together.
We'd have to wait and see. They definitely all slept together when it came to lockdowns, and they're all sleeping together when it comes to signing this new pandemic treaty, which apparently all the countries have ratified. So it's gonna be, they're all gonna be signing this treaty in the not-too-distant future. And Tedros said, you know, the guys in charge of World Health Organization, he said it's not a matter of if we have a pandemic.
It's when.
Yeah. In Acts chapter 7...
So I don't know how these guys can talk about freedom and control in the same document. And that's... Giggs says you half likes it. But the thing that concerns me about the Freedom Charter, there's many things there that they say. They're going to restrict your ability to trade. That's control. The moment they control you, it's the opposite of freedom.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think, Black Knight.
No, I do agree. I think probably not on the show, but I know we had one, was it event that we hosted at the church, and that was the debate between freedom and safety. Yeah, since that debate, I saw the thin line of contradiction that people can fall under when it comes to freedom and safety, which is obviously safety is control, like you did allude on that day on the stage. Yeah.
Yeah, well, what I said was you can either have freedom or you can have safety.
But you can't have both.
At that time, that was related to the restrictions on COVID-19.
On COVID and the whole, cancelling that was happening.
In Acts chapter 7, verse 17 to 19, it says, "As the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. But then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so they would die."
If you look at that, you know, when you start having government control, it always results in death, because how does a government maintain its control? It maintains its control by force. You know, it forces its controls. So the thing is, at the end of the day, you know, when you have a look at that, God brings freedom. So I really want to encourage people, you know, to focus on the Word, to focus on the Lord. True freedom only comes through Christ. And when you start looking at all of his different political parties, and you listen to all the nuances behind there, because if you look at the Democratic Alliance, now they're a pro-market party. So they're for the free market and things like that. But the reality is there's a lot of control there too. They also control things like you can't believe. And I don't know, if you're getting controlled by a capitalist or a communist, what's the difference? You're still being controlled. So the communists obviously write in their documents that it's only capitalists who have slaves. And the reality is that true freedom only comes through Christ. You always have to have a level of control in our societies, because otherwise people, if the laws don't say murder is illegal, then that's a form of control. If the laws don't say murder is illegal, and if you don't have police enforcing anti-murder laws, if I can put it that way, then the reality is people are going to just murder. So you do need some semblance of control, because there's sin. I believe in heaven one day there will be about as much control as there was in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, there was no control. God said you can eat anything, you can work the ground, you can do whatever you want to do, just don't eat the fruit of that one tree there in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So that's freedom. And the tree wasn't there to limit freedom. The tree was there as a test. So, you know, your freedom always needs to be limited by a test. Are you with the Lord or not? And so I want to encourage you, you know, to turn to the Lord, and you won't experience the full, freedom in this life, but one day you will.
This has been an amazing show. As always, right here on The Political Show, I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix, and with me in studio we've had
Gavin Instant,
Pastor Gavin Instant, and
The Black Knight,
right here on The Political Show on Active FM. Radio has never been better, and Christ Politics is
Hot Politics.
Hot Politics.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.